Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Long Beach, to another edition of Swoop's World right here at blogtalkradio.com. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happenings here in Long Beach. Our number, if you want to call in, is 917-889-7449. You can email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Once again, you want to call in tonight, that number is 917-889-7449. Sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World. Hey, hello, Long Beach and all of Southern California. How are you doing tonight? Another edition of Swoop's World. How's it going, Peter?
Going pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. If you want to give us a call tonight, the number is 917-889-7449. The chat line is open. You can join us on the chat line, and we're going to have a wonderful guest today named Dora Hasildo, who's the Executive Officer for Children Today. So we'll be getting to her in just a minute and get to hear all about that organization. I've been reading a lot about it, Peter, and it's pretty intense.
I checked out definitely an important service, a necessary service, and it's amazing. I'm always amazed at people that do stuff like that because that's it's needed, and you know, it's not something. It's not big money. You know, obviously, it's not a. If you do it because it needs to be done, it's a passion, and I've always had a great deal of respect for people who do that.
Yeah, just the history of it was quite amazing. Apparently, one of the founders is driving down the street and saw a little kid in a diaper running down the street by herself. And
when I read that, I just had this image in my mind, and I was like, oh,
"We've all seen it."
Yeah, I know, and it's. It's scary. It's scary that we are the richest country in the world, and that still happens. It just is mind-boggling, and it's great when people step up to fix this problem, or at least try to fix this problem. I know it's a bigger problem than any one person can solve.
Yeah. Well, speaking of little daughters, who's on your lap there, man?
Who do I got? Who's with me today? My daughter, Bella, wanted to join us for a little bit. Can you say hello to everyone on the radio, Bella?
Very good.
Hi, baby.
With a hand wave. There you go. It's radio, but we're working out.
Good job, baby.
How's your week been so far?
It's been a good week so far. Yeah, weather's been nice. And actually, last week, but since we last were on the air, I had the I took my son to the velodrome thing we talked about here, and I got some pictures to show you, which obviously you can't see this on the where'd it go? Can't see this on the radio, but where'd they go? Here they are. Velodrome is cool. It's a great facility.
Wow.
Not cool. So this is banked.
Reminds me of slot cars.
Yeah, it kind of is, except for these are the bikes right here.
Wow.
So you get an idea. I mean, these guys can cook. The whole program is called Start Line. It's free. They don't give you bikes, but they provide bikes, helmets, anything you would need, instruction. And you're being taught by two Olympians.
Well.
And it's really cool. Cool program, something artsy-fartsy there. My son loved it. And it was he came off the track going, Dad, oh, man, Dad, I want to do this. I want to come every day. And I've been trying to get him to do this for almost 2 years. So it's a great program. So anybody that's out there, they run it. The class is full now. But if you have kids that are – they have to be able to ride the bike. That's the only qualification. They have to be able to ride a bike, and they have to be between the ages of – I don't think there's any – as long as they can ride a bike, I think they'll put them on a bike. But I think it's like 6 to 18.
Sure.
Like I said, the program's free. And then the catch is hopefully they'll get you hooked. You'll want to join, and then you'll join like the team. The team is $60 a quarter, I think.
Yeah.
So even that's pretty reasonable. And as we were leaving, the team – one of the teams was getting going. Actually, it was a group of people who were disabled – Olympics, like mm-hmm. Special Olympics.
Right.
There was a guy, and he was hauling. I mean, I can't believe how fast he was going, and he only had one leg.
Wow.
And, I mean, he was up on the bank coming down, and he'd come up, and then when he came up towards the curve, you know, where it banks high, he'd come in low to catch speed. And these are single-gear bikes that don't have brakes.
Right.
Braking is trying to stop, you know, make your pedals go in reverse, which is not effective. This is pretty gutsy. And there's actually, before I left, there was a tandem team. And the woman behind was blind. And wow. That was, you know, because it's all about balance. And so what she had to do was lean forward. So she was basically touching the guy ahead of him, his butt, basically, and feel how he was shifting. And it was pretty pretty remarkable. Cool program, and the facility is just gorgeous. In the center there, they've got all sorts of stuff.
Well,
cool.
we'll get more into that a little bit later. Get to our later show. That's all. I'd like to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's fun.
What we're going to do now is we're going to go to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and bring on our guests. The song you're going to hear during this break is by a band called Last Day Off, and they're going to be on Swoop's World Late Night tonight. So we're going to play a quick song and a quick break, and we'll be back to introduce you to Dora Hasildo of I'm probably butchering that name, but of ChildrenToday.org. So I'll be right back, and you're listening to Swoop's World. Okay, hang on a second. There we go, right there. On this week's Friends of Swoop's World segment, we spotlight two local businesses, Alfred's English Gardens and Rich Co. Gates. Kathy Alford of Alfred's English Gardens was recently chosen by the City of Long Beach Water Department to help educate homeowners about alternative low-water garden options. Visit the website and click on eSmart Gardens for case studies and photo galleries of gorgeous gardens in Long Beach. Go to www.kathyalford.com. Richco Gates. Richco is a local builder that specializes in locally handcrafted outdoor woodwork built specifically for each client. Richco believes in doing a great job and having fun in the process. He builds gates in a variety of styles. Check out the photo gallery at richcogates.com for more information. If you'd like to become a friend of Swoop's World and have your business mentioned on our air, send us an email at swoopsworld@gmail.com. And back to our guests right after this.
Let's stay past this horchata, but this party is forever.
Last day off for the inclusive version of Party, and I'll be here at 10 o'clock, our Z Talk show, our late night, Swoop Stroll late night. But it's Swoop Stroll prime time, and our guest is Dora. Hold on a minute. How do you say it, Dora?
Hasildo.
And she's the executive director of Children Today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm glad you accepted our invitation. And tell us a little bit about what the organization is, and we'll start right there.
Well, the organization focuses on the traumatic effects of homelessness on young children, and it really is a one-of-a-kind model that looks at the need for childcare and preschool education, and also because of the stress that these young children are under, we also look at their mental health and health needs. So it's a combination of preschool needs meets therapeutic support. We call it a family support model, but what it is it's a day program, a Monday through Friday day program for children who are currently experiencing homelessness, whose families are searching for housing, for economic stability. And there are many resources in the city. We're very blessed to be in the city of Long Beach. Many resources for folks experiencing homelessness. Very few resources, however, focused on the experience that the child is having, which is very, very different. A child isn't thinking about job search or housing stability. A child is thinking about their parent being stressed, about loss, about losing their best friend, about losing their bedroom, their toys, their pet in many, many instances. And so what we begin to look at is how to support the child through this experience, and how to not distance ourselves but partner with other folks who are supporting those experiencing homelessness so that we can support the entire family. But our approach is really starting from the child's perspective, and it's looking at their health, first and foremost, stabilizing their nutrition, having them immunized, doing an initial assessment, looking at their developmental needs, getting them into the preschool program so they begin to develop like typical children at that age. If there are mental health concerns, bringing in our therapeutic support, whether it's a counselor or a therapist, and then connecting the children with a primary caregiver, a teacher, who will support that child while that child is in our program, so that there is very few transitions and an opportunity for the children to bond with a predictable, healthy, committed, and skilled adult.
Yeah. Well, I see you've done quite a bit before you actually took over this job here. You started as a preschool teacher and worked in a number of different organizations and were selected Local Hero of the Year back in 2006. Tell us a little bit about your background.
My passion is social justice, mm-hmm. and I think that everything that I've chosen to do with my life is kind of anchored in this belief that that everyone is entitled to a quality life. And so I hold a master's degree in human development and social change. But I think that, the work that I've done all of these years has been the same work. It's just geography. And I just happen to be very, very lucky to be working at Children Today, because I think I get an opportunity to use all the skills I've gained throughout the years and to have influence really supporting what I consider to be the most vulnerable citizens, young children experiencing homelessness. And I can't emphasize enough what happens to a child when they experience that level of ongoing stress and ongoing trauma. And for me, the work that Children Today is able to do really is the work of building resiliency. And if you were to look at it from a very technical and scientific standpoint, it really is the work of healing the brain. Because when children experience so much trauma, it actually affects the way their brain develops. And Children Today is really a leader, I would say a model, in countering those effects because of the way the program is designed. Now, the truth is that on a daily basis, we can support 64 children, and 64 children only.
Right.
But the city estimates that there are, you know, clearly hundreds and hundreds of children that are not being served just because there isn't the capacity to serve. Our hope is that the agency fulfills two goals. One, obviously, the sustainability of the organization so we can continue to serve. And the other is to serve as a model so that other communities can look to us and duplicate that. We don't expect to be able to be everywhere, but I do think that we can help communities identify what their needs are and help them design programs to support this population.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. Actually, I had two real quick ones. One's a statement, actually. One was when I read your model, I found it very interesting that the way you base your education, it starts off with seeing what the child actually needs and fulfilling certain, you know, emotional needs and health needs and nutritional needs is all a part of the concept. And I found that very, very, I really enjoyed what I read about that. But the next question, the question I actually do have is, has there been any other organizations or any other cities that have come to you or come to the organization wanting guidance to try to set something like this?
And that, I think, has been... you know, we've been very strategic about creating opportunities for others to come and see us. And we've had great response at the county level. Recently, I've been appointed to sit on the county's roundtable, child care policy roundtable. And I think that the appointment was specifically because the county is beginning to plan around the needs of children experiencing homelessness and integrate them into traditional preschool settings. And so I think that they really are looking to us. We have been approached by some Head Start programs, by Los Angeles Universal Preschool to look at our model. And we've had public officials, university professors tour our facilities. We have a program that is toured very, very often with the idea of looking at how it's done. I will share with you, and just because I think that this particular story really speaks to how we envision what children are entitled to. Our program is one of three nationwide to be accredited. And accreditation is basically the mark of exceptional quality in the United States when it comes to preschool programming. We are one of three to be serving this population nationwide to be accredited. Typically, an accredited program caters to an affluent community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's typically the case. We went after this high quality mark because we wanted to make the statement that children experiencing homelessness were entitled to exceptional services, and that it didn't matter whether families could afford to pay the tuition of a private program, that we wanted to make sure that everyone nationwide knew that that our children were not deserving of whatever was available, and that they should be happy with with what could be given to them, but that our children were entitled to beautiful, high-quality early childhood education.
Excellent. Well, I know when my son was 16 months old, we moved from the East Coast back here, and that's not homelessness, obviously, but that was a big change in his life and his routines, and it was months and months before we could get him, you know, kind of like back to where he was in frame of mind. So I can't imagine, you know, when you're talking about no toy. I mean, he was all worried about how his room was going to change and, you know, little things. And it was, but it was very disruptive at that point in his life. And so I can imagine for those who have like real homelessness and toys and things like that, and, you know, they're toys to us, but to them, they're like much, much more important. So that I got to believe it's just a huge issue for them. I'm wondering along the lines of funding, how are you guys funded? Obviously, we're not talking tuition here. Where does the money come? And with the economy being the way it is, we had a little talked about that a little bit before the show got started. Has it dried up? Has it gotten harder? Is it put a crimp on what you guys are trying to do?
It certainly has gotten harder, and we are challenged to think differently about funding. One of the things that our board of directors has always been very committed to is diversifying the funding, so that if one funding source is compromised, it does not mean that the entire program is compromised. So there is a good balance of government funding, foundation and grants, and money that comes in from private donors through events, through just, you know, giving, folks who schedule their giving. And so it really has been an effort, a real combined effort from board and staff to make sure that our funding is never heavy in one area and weak in another. One of the things that we've begun to do as we saw a shift with foundations, especially foundations that were counting on the stock market to generate those extra funds, we began to then plan fundraisers that were non-traditional. Typically, our fundraisers included an end-of-the-year wine tasting silent auction event, and all of our supporters would come and bid on items, and it's been wonderful and successful. We started to think about different audiences. This past year was our second annual Run Walk, mm-hmm. and that catered to a younger audience, to students. We also this year did our second annual golf tournament. And so, again, thinking about different audiences, audiences that perhaps might not go to a wine tasting, but would participate in an outdoor family event. And so it's really thinking about that piece. We've also begun to think differently about our corporate partners. In the past, we went after corporate partners for sponsorship, but now we'd like to be part of their annual budget. So it's looking at the, you know, we are a small staff, but we have an incredible board who works very, very hard with that sustainability in mind.
Well, you know, what it sounds like to me, a lot of organizations, is everything segmented. You have either a passionate board or, you know, the people on the ground are more passionate. Sounds like you have an organization where everybody is a good fit for where they are, and everybody's after seeking the same outcome. And it sounds like that, I mean, you just the thought of diversifying your funding in case certain things drop off. Peter and I have sat in a lot of meetings with a lot of different organizations where all their eggs were in one basket, and then the talk of seeking out different donors and stuff was almost a foreign, mm-hmm. Element. And it sounds like you guys already have that in place, and have already had that in place. So, is that what you found when you got there? Did you find that it's the people who are in place or who started this place had a really good vision, and things have taken off in a positive way with that?
You know, what I found was, when I first joined the organization, mm-hmm. what I found was a board that worked 24/7 to get this organization up and running, very, very committed. I mean, blood, sweat, and tears. Mm-hmm. And as the organization has grown, I think that story is very compelling, and people want to be part of that. As the organization has grown and our programming has evolved, I think that we find board members and staff addicted to the culture, the mission, and certainly the successes. And there are very, very hard days. You know, there are days that no staff person should have to endure. Very, very heavy things happen. But because the culture of the organization is the way it is, there's so much support and so much appreciation for everything that staff does. I can tell you on any given day, I can pick up the phone and call a board member, and that person will drop what they're doing to make themselves available to me, to the staff. Just a real appreciation for the work that everyone does. And I think that, you know, when we talk about things like diversifying the funding and boards that are not asleep at the wheel but involved in every aspect of the organization, think that the only way you can have that level of commitment is when you have a program that everyone feels proud of.
Right. Now, are you finding that you're having to turn away people trying to get into the program? Are you at capacity?
That perhaps is the hardest thing, because you always have a waiting list.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, how do these people find you? Do you work with the city or?
We are one of the partners receiving funding from HUD, from the Housing Urban Development Department, and that funding comes through the City of Long Beach. So we are a subcontractor with the City of Long Beach, along with many other community partners, and our customers come to us through referrals. We are part of a case plan developed by another service provider. A case manager identifies a family, and in order for that family to seek housing or complete a domestic violence program or perhaps a substance abuse program or go back to school, whatever the need is for that family, if there is a need for child care identified as part of that case plan, that referral comes to us. There are other families that just happen to come off the streets who are referred to us by a church or by the police, and at that point, we will make sure that they are connected to another agency who can do a case management type of service.
Right. You know, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about the different types of programs that you do run out of the organization, as well as what type of results you've been seeing. You listen to Swoop's Road on Blog Talk Radio. Listen here every Wednesday night. This is Swoop's Road Prime Time. We're here every Wednesday night from 8 to 10, and then Swoop's Road Late Night from 10 to midnight on Z Talk Radio. We're here with our guest, Dora Hasildo from ChildrenToday.org. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hey, all you out there in Swoop's World, this is Rob from Night Views Radio, reminding you to join myself and Travis every Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Time on ztalkradio.com for Night Views Radio. You're not going to want to miss this show. We talk about some of the hottest topics, hot button issues, and we also chat with some of the most well-known celebrities, musicians, entertainers, newsmakers, comedians, whoever it is. We have them here on Night Views Radio. So make sure you join us every Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, only on ztalkradio.com. For more information on our show, go to nightviewsradio.com.
I bet you're wondering, hey, Swoop, what is that going on behind you there? Well, I'm over here at Powerhouse Fitness, and what's going on behind me is an indoor rowing class. And what you're hearing in the background there is music going on at about 30, 32 beats a minute. That whirling sound of the fans of the flywheel of an indoor rowing machine, Concept 2. And that voice, that's Jack Nunn. He's teaching one of the classes here. So many classes going on here. The rowing core, beats per minute, rowing burn, rowing coach, you name it. The spin class, Zumba classes. They got the core arc workout. And two locations, 5750 Boathouse Lane, 1347 Loma Avenue for the warehouse location. First class is free. Come on out, good friend of Swoop's World. coming out, meet Jack Nunn, meet some of the other instructors here. So many of the instructors are U.S. national team rowers. You're going to burn 800 calories an hour, and, you know, get your groove on, man. I'm going to get back on here and jump on one of these rowers and get my sweat on. So, hey, he's yelling at me, so I'm going to have to get back really here pretty soon. So come on down, check out a good friend of Swoops World. Check out Powerhouse Fitness. Like I said, tell them Swoops World sent you. First class free. Check it out. And I'm going to get you back to the show. But I'm going to go ahead, get back here, get sweaty, have some fun. Talk to you soon. Hey, Swoop here, letting you know every one of our shows is archived, and you can find them all online, man. If you missed a show or one that you want to definitely hear again, you can find them. And where can you find them? You can find them right here on Blog Talk Radio under Swoops World. You can find them at swoopsworld.com. You can find them for free on iTunes. You can subscribe to our RSS feed. You can go back and listen to who? John Nunn, Olympic medalist. Jack Smith, Academy Award winner. Gray Slick, rock and roll superstar, Michelle Mangione, Tom O'Keefe, you name it, we've had them, man. J. Ross Perelli. Now, I mean, there's just so many people. I can't name them all. I'm sorry if I left somebody to love out. Go to swoopsworld.com, look at the list, go to blogtalkradio.com/swoopsworld. Just scroll on down, see what you got. But they're all archived, and they're all there for you, the Swoops World listener, to go back and check out and listen to again. So check out our archives. Go back and re-listen to some shows that you've missed and some that you haven't heard, because they're there, and they're going to be there for in perpetuity, as they say. So check those out. Revisit them. And like I said, you can always subscribe to our RSS feed, or you can always subscribe to them on iTunes, downloadable for free. And, hey, thanks for listening.
Hey, welcome back to Swoops World. Want to give us a call at 917-889-7449. Join us on the chat line. You can always fan us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. If you want to send us an email, swoopsworld@gmail.com. We're back with our guest, Dora Hasildo from Children Today. Dora, you run, there's so many different programs running out of your organization. Can you tell us a little bit about some of them?
Well, the core program is child care. And so we have an infant-toddler component and a preschool program. And the preschool program is partially funded by the State Department of Education and Los Angeles Universal Preschool. And so both programs are really designed to help children transition into kindergarten programming. We also have a therapeutic component where we have on staff a licensed clinical social worker, and we have two therapists that work with the children and families, providing either individual therapy or enhanced referrals, and that's just coordinating with other service agencies to provide services on site for the children. We have distribution programs where we can get anything from toiletries, clothing, items to families when they need them. And we also have a rental assistance program that helps provide some funding to help families move into their own housing. And we coordinate with the community when we can to get furniture into those homes. So really it's looking at family support in that respect. But I think the most important piece is making sure that as families are exiting our program, that we also have a system in place for them. And so our staff leverage their relationships with other service providers that are there for the general community, so that when our families exit our programs into housing, there are other systems in place to help them sustain that housing.
So they're not just tossed out.
Right.
Exactly. It's not like you're no longer homeless.
Right.
And good luck with that. It really is, you know, if you get in trouble, call so-and-so. She'll be expecting you because I've made that connection for you. And so it really works that way. We also, I would say, one of our greatest partners is the Department of Child and Family Services, because many families who do come into the agency have had some type of connection with Child Protective Services. We build a relationship with them so that we can help the family stay together as they're struggling to gain stability. We can really vouch for the family that the program is there to support them, and that that the children are well attended.
Now, I don't know how long each individual program has been in place, but what type of success rate are you seeing, and some of the positive result stories that you have for us?
You know, I think success is hard to measure. Some might say that success is moving into your own apartment, but as you know, when the economy changes, the accessibility of affordable housing is just not available.
Right.
One would say that success is how many children we are serving and how many families are going through the program. But when you have a waiting list, you don't feel as successful because you're not moving them along. I think that for us, our greatest success stories come when you see a child who was having a very difficult time being in a day program, successfully transition to kindergarten, and be with their peers as if homelessness was never, a barrier.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that we have lots of opportunities to celebrate little successes when a mom finally gets her apartment and she is so excited that she can barely stand. I mean, she doesn't care that there isn't any furniture. There's a roof, and it's hers, and she's got her keys. I would say that's probably one of our greatest successes. Or when a child who wasn't playing at all reaches out to another child to engage them, and knowing that there is healing happening, that could certainly be a great measure of success. Having our programs to capacity is success.
Well, I was going to ask, what age group are you dealing with most of the time, children-wise? And then are you often dealing with whole families or single parents? What's the kind of demographic that way?
Well, the program serves children 6 weeks to 6 years of age. So we take them as young as 6 weeks, and that probably is one of the greatest demands for infant
really?
Care. I will tell you that when I first started with the organization about 6.5 years ago, the demographics were very different than they are today. We were serving primarily women who self-identified as African American between the ages of 18 and 35 years of age with 2 to 3 children. And now we have a lot of mom and dad families. You know, they've lost their housing, they've lost their job, they just never thought they'd be here. They can't believe they're homeless, they can't believe they're having this experience, and so that's really changed. We've also seen a great growth in the Latino community. I can tell you when I started 6.5 years ago, I think we had one family that self-identified as Latino, and now I would say maybe 30% of our families. And so I think that there's been a big shift in whole families and in the Latino community that was, you know, at one point known to take in relatives and really to kind of support each other, and how that's changed because it's not possible anymore.
Right. You know, a lot of times with, especially with children and stuff, in situations like this, in organizations like this, some of the success rate or the positive things that come out of it depend on the parents being involved. Do you see a lot of parental involvement with the organization and with the programs?
I believe that the parents love how they feel when they are with us. I think that we are probably one of the very few agencies that isn't creating a plan for them. That includes, you know, going to these meetings and attending these, that when they walk in, they are just a very, very important customer. They are treated as if they were a high-paying customer. And so we always look to the parent to give them a sense of power when they are living in a society where they are very much powerless. Homelessness is very disempowering, and it's very, it really takes away their ability to parent.
Right.
It's a very public experience. You are looking at families who are in public transportation, in public housing, you know, on the streets, and there is no intimacy to their relationship with their child. Our program provides that intimacy. And so I think that parents are involved within their limited amount of time because they are tasked to go to this appointment, to go to this meeting, to you know, pick up food stamps, to go to the WIC office, to meet with your case manager, to meet with your therapist, to meet with your counselor. When there's so much that needs to happen in order for a family to stabilize, there's very little time for them to be involved meaningfully in their child's education. But because the culture of the organization is to see that family, is to see that parent as very knowledgeable and very much invested, even if it doesn't appear to be that way from an outside perspective, that parent naturally feels competent and naturally wants to be in the environment. I can tell you, we've had parents graduate from our program that find ways to give back, that get their new communities involved in doing a diaper drive, in doing something for the holidays, because they want to be able to still stay connected.
Yeah.
It sounds like a great program. It's really great that you're out there. We talked earlier about the volume of just the sheer number of people. I mean, is there what sort of numbers are we talking about here? And how could we, if we can't set necessarily this sort of thing up, what other steps could we possibly move towards to try to service these people?
Well, I can tell you that tomorrow is a very, very important day here in the city of Long Beach. Tomorrow is the homeless count. And this is when the city of Long Beach and all of the homeless service providers go out into the street and actually survey how many people are actually homeless in Long Beach on that given day. In years past, data has shown anywhere from, you know, 700 to 2,000 children.
Wow.
That are identified. Now, those are those who are identified.
Right.
That doesn't mean that is an actual figure, because we know a lot of people aren't self-reporting that they are. So I expect that number is a lot higher. And then what homelessness means, you know, by HUD definition, is very different than how other people define homelessness. For instance, someone who doesn't have a home and is just kind of couch surfing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's homelessness, but it's not defined as homelessness the way that we are counting it today. Does that make
right,
sense?
Sure.
So I think that the numbers are probably a lot higher than we know.
That's a scary thought.
And I think that the other thing we've seen is, you know, migration. A lot of people are having to leave California because it's too expensive to be housed here. And so I think that perhaps in years past, the numbers were a little higher, but people have left for more affordable states.
If someone wanted to get involved with your organization, help out, how do they go about that, doing that, and what types of things are you looking for from people?
You know, that's always been a very good question. Folks call often wanting to volunteer, and the organization needs support. You know, they need the reason I believe that the organization is still a strong organization that is able to open their doors every single day is because of community support, primarily the Long Beach community. It's just been incredible. We, however, do not have any opportunities for people to volunteer with the children. The children have special needs, and it's very, very difficult for children to attach to someone who's not going to be able to commit to being there day in and day out. Right. So volunteer opportunities aren't available at the organization. And what we ask folks to do is to go on our website, look at our wish list, every dollar that we can preserve to serve the children directly, to not spend on, you know, on things like sunscreen or shampoo, toothpaste, toothbrushes. If we don't have to spend money on buying them clothing, on diapers, that money can be used towards core services, preschool, therapy, the educational materials that they need, rental assistance. So we ask the community if there is a way for them to help alleviate our costs by going onto our wish list. We ask folks who you know, who get creative and do a dinner party at, you know, with their neighborhoods, and have one of our staff come out and talk about the organization, and, you know, kind of do a fundraiser dinner party. Things like that really make a big difference to us. And then there is the other part that without, certainly funding is really, really important, but there's this other part about awareness and letting people know, not just that we are out there, but that children are having this experience, and that it is a different experience than that of an adult who is currently homeless. So awareness and the wish list and creative ways to raise money and kind of combine both.
Excellent. And the wish list is on the website, which is childrentoday.org. And you can go there and take a look at the website. It has plenty of information on the organization. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you'd like the listeners to know about?
You know, I think that the most important thing for me is to always emphasize that for our organization, every single community member makes a difference. Every single contribution makes a big dent. So whether it's contribution of items, the contribution of funding, contribution of spreading the word, this opportunity is so great for us, and I can't tell you, because there is someone out there who is listening saying, I had no idea there were children that were homeless.
Right.
And that in itself creates social change. So I'm grateful to you, and I just want everyone to know that there is a way that they can contribute, and that if they give us a call, if they shoot us an email, give us a sense of what they're interested in doing, I'm sure that we can find a good way for them to partner with Children Today.
Well, you know, I thank you for coming on, and what you're doing is remarkable.
Yeah.
And it definitely serves a need, and it's a need that it's probably, well, it's obviously underserved. And like you said, a lot of people don't even know that there is a need. So it's amazing what you're doing out there, and we're really happy that you came on Swoops World and to put the word out.
And in the future, should you happen to be doing any sort of events, let us know. We will make sure it gets on the air.
We'll definitely get the word out for you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Dora. That was Dora Asildo from ChildrenToday.org, and you're listening to Swoops World on BlogTalkRadio.com, and we'll be back in just a little bit.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
This next song, one of the very first songs we wrote together, me and Kim. He wrote the music. I based the lyrics on my family's experience in World War II. relocation camp called Manzanar.
Friends of ours from a few weeks ago.
An old fast song.
There we go. That was recorded live at Alex's Bar right here in Long Beach. So that is Manzanar by Channel 3. And Dora was very interesting. We have some other guys sitting in here with us right now. We have the guys from LB Food Review. Chris and Taylor, what's going on, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Taylor.
Hey.
What's happening, guys?
Hungry.
I'm not hungry.
Don't even worry about that for now. Coming up at 10 o'clock, we'll be switching over to Z-Talk for Swoops for a Late Night, and we're going to have a band on tonight called Last Day Off, and four young men that are pretty darn good, so we're looking forward to that. Peter, what did you think about our last guest? Sounds pretty interesting, huh?
It was interesting. It was... Once again, those types of numbers depress the hell out of me. You know, just the thought that there's that many. I think we talked a little bit about it on the off air. You know, you always think of the homeless guy in the cart, and that's depressing, right?
Yeah.
And to think of kids who are, you know, I mean, just think about your kids and all the things they're missing. I mean, if they're homeless, they're not in football, they're not getting good education, they're probably not eating well. You know, and it's a scary thought to think that in those years where all that stuff matters the most.
Yeah.
You know, I can go without, you know, for a while. But kids, as anybody who has kids or has spent any time around kids knows, that sort of stuff just sets them off. It disrupts their learning. It disrupts everything they're doing. And, you know, long term, it disrupts their opportunities in life. So it's great that there's somebody out there. It's scary and unfortunate that there's not enough space to deal with the ones they know about.
Right.
Forget about the ones they don't even know about. The ones they know are waiting to get in. That's scary.
Well, yeah. The thing is you know, we have an extensive waiting list, and so that you know that's kind of tough, you know, to think about.
Yeah.
You know? And if you're out there and you can help out monetarily or in some way, definitely go to childrentoday.org. I got a bone to pick with the food review guys, man.
Uh-oh.
Yep, I kept hearing about this one item. They kept telling us about it. Great, open it back up. It's going to be good. It's awesome. It's back in. So I venture on out the other day for one of those God's Own Burgers.
God, I knew you were there. I drove by and I said, Taylor? Or no, I don't know. Maybe it was Diane. No, I said to Diane, I said, I saw a convertible bug in the parking lot of the 49ers. That doesn't belong there. That doesn't belong there. I know who that belongs to.
Let's just say I was less than impressed by $7 by God's Own Burger, and which came and waited and started eating, and they finally brought the chili dog that was ordered alongside it. I was done with the burger, but you know, I was expecting a little bit more, guys.
Hey, wait a minute. Can I be? I am not a fan.
Oh, okay.
He is a fan.
Oh, he's
we
a fan.
We differ on this. Today.
Taylor, all right.
I walked in there one time and saw that cheese dick Acme art all over the wall and saw that the Jason Giambi Misty May portrait that was on the wall was gone, and I said, screw this. And I walked right out the door.
Where? Right here.
Bizarro. You know, I'm telling you, Bizarro.
Yeah, you care to defend that thing? I mean,
you know, I can't really defend the burger.
The first bite, I have to admit, was tasty.
First of all, you made the mistake of going and paying full price. Don't pay full price at a bar for food.
I did. I look at the menu. I ordered. You said how great it was.
Wednesday
okay?
night. Go on Wednesday. It's
okay,
worth
$4.75. How am I going to go on Wednesday?
So it's worth $4.75.
Well, let's go before the show next week.
It's worth $4.75. That's
yeah.
worth a freaking half. I should have got fries. I should have got everything that's bad for me with that burger because that's about what it's worth.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I drive through the Golden Arches before I go back for one of those goddamn burgers.
Oh, boy.
You know, before it changed hands, the prices weren't much different. I think the price have gone up a little bit, but prices weren't much different. But the burger you got was a two-hander. You know, you had the stuff like kind of dripping off your elbow, but if you didn't put it down to wipe off, you know, you just get the wonderfulness.
Yeah.
And it, no, it doesn't happen.
No,
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what? The place sucks. I mean, it's really pretty much an abortion of what it was.
I heard the guy try to explain to somebody what it is to be now, and it's not all about the 49er. Tavern anymore. It's
no.
About, I don't know. He tried to explain it. I was already disgusted because I.
Apparently, the lady that owns is a big fundraiser in the city or something.
Good for her.
Yeah. I don't know. Somebody was telling me about her, but, you know, I hear that the restaurant is a perfect example of what a nightmare the person owns is.
Well, I saw a review go up today on Kanikawa.
Yeah.
And that's a good place. I like that place.
Actually, you know, neither Taylor nor I wrote the review. As we've been talking about, we're trying to bring on some new perspectives and some new areas, you know, because we of course are in our little incestuous area that we live in, and it's hard to sometimes branch out and find new places. So, you know, we figured not only do we need to find people that eat in different areas on a regular basis, but that we also need to find somebody with a little different perspective than two frat boys eating fried burgers.
Some frat boy sending me down to the 49er Tavern for a $7 burger worth about
frat boy
worth about $1.95.
But Ricklin, as everything in our lives, and you always make fun of us for it, Delta Chi. her husband is a fraternity brother of ours, and she was actually an award winning writer at Long Beach Community College, and she wrote for their newspaper, and she won a couple of awards and stuff. She's a really great writer, but she's also a mom with two kids, and you know, she runs a daycare center out of her house.
Oh my God.
And he just got his CPA, and he's been working his butt off for it, and you know, so they're on a budget, and they've always lived on that budget, and they're really good about it, which is something that I'm really horrible at, but I also don't have a wife and two kids. But they're really good about doing it. So that's another perspective that it brings to us, is that, you know, they're saying, where can we go and have a nice meal on a budget that most people are willing to spend on dinner with your kids and your husband.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, I just brought it up, man. I'm not saying anything out of school, man. And it's good that you guys got somebody with a little different perspective. That's nice because it gives everybody a little, well, it's good to see a little variety, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, she did Kanikawa, and Taylor put the article up, so you should talk about it.
Tom O'Keefe is sitting in there, and he's got a question for us.
I have a question for Chris and Taylor. Did you hear me honk my horn when I waved at that gorgeous Cadillac going by with the top down?
Yeah, I don't think
that was me.
In the car with me.
That was
but,
me. That is one cool car.
I turned around and said, "Hey, Tom!
I want that car." That is so cool. And I got to tell you a restaurant that my brother introduced me to. I was blown away. Reasonable price.
Yeah.
Long Beach, Belfar Boulevard. It's called
Burger King.
No. Store. It's called Sakura. And, okay, doesn't have to be sushi, but that's kind of the place it is. You can get it broiled. Killer. Killer. It'll blow you away. I encourage you to go there, and the price isn't going to knock your pocketbook off.
Sakura, huh?
Sakura.
Cool. I have to write that down.
Knock it out of the park. And they're
all right.
Nice.
Oh, I'm just saying that.
I'm not really that. I take that all accreditation. No, Tom, I'm sorry. That was not for you.
Well,
keep those time out.
It is still the off season for all of you baseball fans out there, but in the case of college baseball, the off season has just a few short weeks left. All you dirtbag fans out there, Blair Field will be hosting Long Beach's opener in just about 3 weeks. That'll be against Cal State Fullerton. They're usually on the losing end of that rivalry, unfortunately, over the last decade, but... interestingly enough, it used to be that Fullerton and Long Beach were kind of the two top dogs in the conference.
Sure.
The Big West Conference has gotten a lot deeper in baseball over the last few years. We've got UC Riverside and UC Irvine, making runs. They've been both of them were in the College World Series over the last couple of years. So suddenly, Long Beach State's in an interesting position coming into this season. They've got a new coach this year for the first time in just over a decade, Troy Buckley. The former pitching coach is taking over this year as the head man of the Dirtbags. He was my weightlifting teacher for my one semester of weightlifting at Cal State. So, way to go, Coach Buckley.
Are you doing now?
Well, you know, I could probably have an accident somewhere along the way. But
drop on yourself.
I'm excited for opener at Blair Field. It's always fun to catch a Dirtbags game, and that's going to be coming up in a couple weeks. Let's see, what else we got? We've got the Super Bowl in just... over a week now, a week and a half to go. We have to pretend that the Pro Bowl matters this coming week.
Pro Bowl never matters.
No. At least they put it out of its misery. They let it go before the Super Bowl
but
now.
But then you lose half the players.
Well, the thing is, most of those guys that play in the Super Bowl weren't going to play in the Pro Bowl the week after either. So I don't think they're losing too many of the marquee guys off of the championship teams. But either way, the coaching staff for the Pro Bowl actually is a real, real shaft, because it used to be that the team that lost the conference championship game for each conference, that coaching staff would coach that conference's Pro Bowl team. Now, because they've moved it to before the Super Bowl, it's one of like the first round losing teams whose coaching staff has to take over. So Bill Belichick was talking about how he'd much rather be going to Miami than Hawaii this year.
But, I imagine so, yeah.
Yeah, so the Pro Bowl, I feel bad for it, but it'll get out of the way soon enough. And then we've got Steelers-Packers. I finally got a couple of predictions right. My scores weren't quite there, but, yeah.
I got to tell you that. You in the column, right?
Yes.
I got to tell you, if I was either a Jets or a Steelers fan, I'd be nervous, because neither one of those teams played a whole football game.
Well, I tell you what, the Jets made a game of it, though.
They did, but if they'd have played the first half, they'd have won. They only showed up for the second half, and the Steelers... I don't know. They checked out at halftime. So I'm telling you, if I'm either one of those fans, I'm nervous because neither one of them played the whole game.
And the Packers have been – they're still heating up.
Yeah.
They are
yeah.
One –
So you never know.
This week,
2 weeks,
NBA Jam
a lot can
fire,
happen in 2 weeks. But I wasn't happy about that game. I wasn't a fan of either team. I just
Yeah. Sadly enough, President Obama will not be attending the Super Bowl now that the Bears couldn't quite squeak it in.
What's his name?
Charles Woodson said,
we'll meet him at the White House.
Yeah, Charles Woodson already gave President Obama a Packers jersey that is signed, see you at the White House. Go Pack. Apparently, the president had gotten 3 Packers jerseys given to him within being on the ground in Wisconsin for about an hour today. So, the folks in Wisconsin are very generous people.
They are.
And,
they want
the president to know that. So,
what's the rap on Cutler, man?
You know,
I think he's getting screwed.
Cutler's getting trashed,
and the guy
tore his MCL. I mean, it's not the most serious tear, and it's not the most damaging of the ligaments from my, I don't know, I'm pretty brain dead when it comes to that. But the guy had a torn ligament in his knee. He could barely push off of it. One of his linemen, his center, said that you could see his leg wobbling in the hole.
I like what, what's the linebacker's name? Urlacher had to say. Yeah. He just went off.
Yeah, there was no misinterpreting what he had to say to all the people that were trashing.
Did you hear what Dick Butkus said?
No.
He was behind it. He's like, he was 100%. He said, there's absolutely no way, you know, and here's the toughest guy in the NFL in his day. And if he's saying Jay Cutler's okay, then, I mean, as far as he's okay. What's up?
Yeah, it was interesting because when the story first broke, or not that there was a story breaking, there was a bunch of guys tweeting. I don't know. I don't consider that story breaking. The guys that were kind of, you know, crossing some of those unspoken boundaries, trashing on fellow players, that's an interesting take, especially with the collective bargaining agreement stuff going on right now. The NFL, the Players Association, the union is really trying to kind of rally some support and show a united front, and I don't think this helped their cause one bit.
Not one bit. And
especially when they're arguing that player safety is one of their first and foremost concerns, and that's why they're saying they don't want to play 18
and
games.
And how many times
year.
Have you watched a game and a guy stayed in too long, and you're like, you know, he's obviously shouldn't be in there, but the coach won't pull him because he's the star player or what have you. I think, from what I saw, and I didn't watch, I just saw snippets of the game, from what I saw, he made the right call. He couldn't play 100%. He wants his team to get into the playoffs. If you can't do it 100%, if you can't even do 80, 90%, which it looked like he wasn't doing, capable of doing, you do the right thing. You say, I got to come out so that a player who's fit can play.
Yeah, between, you got to get the able body out there, and you don't want to damage yourself. He's still a young quarterback. He's been in the league for four or five years. He doesn't need to go out there and
yeah, it's not his last hurrah.
Make himself irreparable. Here, so.
No, and you know the thing is, it gets to bum rap. There were people that were ragging on him because they saw him after the game with his family and his girlfriend and 12 other people. They went to dinner. And they went to dinner at some, they had a private VIP room at this restaurant. And they were going, he took the stairs to the restroom, to the room.
Yeah, paparazzi,
instead of taking the elevator. What how hurt could he have been? I'm like,
he wasn't
limping that, though. No, they said, although he was limping a little, he still took the stairs.
The thing with Cutler is, I think I've heard him say maybe 12 words the whole time he's been in the league. And that's kind of a major observation coming from someone who doesn't like to talk.
But is 80% of Jake Cutler hurt still better than 100% of the backup guy?
Well, the backup, Todd Collins, threw all of 2 passes, and that didn't go over so well, which that doesn't surprise me. Most of these teams scout the backup quarterbacks pretty well. The third-string kid that they brought in, he had, you know, a little bit of the benefit of mystery because he wasn't on film at all. The scene of him coming out of college a couple years ago. So, you know, they had a little bit of the element of surprise to work with, but beyond that, no, I still think that the Gimpy Cutler probably would have been as good.
Well, that Haney guy, whatever his name was, Haney? Haney, he did all right, man.
He did well, you know. I mean, he did better than some rookies and first-time go-rounders would do in that situation, getting in there in a championship game. So
getting in a championship game, and he was roaming downfield, touchdown passing. There was a game-winning interception as well. But,
yeah, the highs and the lows.
Yeah, but you know, hey, that was some good. It was a good game. Yeah. Excellent. And look who wandered through the door there, man. Hey.
Prediction for the Super Bowl coming next week. Maybe next show. I don't want to tease you too much.
But. We will look forward to hearing what you have to say on Super Bowl late night, sometime after 10 o'clock tonight. Well, that's the two. Well. T-Bone's timeout.
There you go.
Timeout.
Good to see you. I got to go
call. It's 917-889-7449. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back after this. This is Butch Rivera, and he was a guest on our show not too long ago, a couple weeks ago. This is called La Voca.
You out there in Swoops World, this is Rob from Night Views Radio, reminding you to join myself and Travis every Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Time on ztalkradio.com for Night Views Radio. You're not going to want to miss this show. We talk about some of the hottest topics, hot button issues, and we also chat with some of the most well-known celebrities, musicians, entertainers, newsmakers, comedians, whoever it is. We have them here on Night Views Radio, so make sure you join us every Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, only on ztalkradio.com. For more information on our show, go to nightviewsradio.com.
Hey, we're back live. Troops World Prime Time. And we got our sitting down in the table here is Jack Nunn,
our
proprietor of Powerhouse Fitness. How's it going, Jack?
Good. How are you?
Good. So, couple things happening. We got beach sprints coming up this weekend, huh?
Yeah. It's a once-a-year virtual indoor race in Long Beach. It's a pretty big deal, actually, for high school and elite and some masters rowers. Joan Van Blum and John Van Blum both race, and Joan, I think, wins every year, and it's incredible. But some high school students can actually literally get scholarships, full scholarships to Brown or, you know, universities all around the country based on this score on the machine.
Yeah.
What they do Saturday. That's so much pressure. I mean, coaches won't even come out and look. They'll be like, what's your SAT, what's your GPA, and what's your 2K? That's it. And then that, based on that, that's the equation. On the concept, too, boom. It has to be on the concept, too. It can't be on any other rowing machine because it's just not the standard.
Right.
So everything's based off that, and that can be your – that's I know because that's how I gotten in, you know. And I was right at the cutoff of the junior national team standard time, which is a 6:30. The running joke was that my dad beat me, actually. He's 55 years old, and he beat me by 2 seconds in high school. And he's like, hey, I can make the junior national team. And I was like, yeah, you're funny. So, but then in college, I cranked it a little more. But anyways, it's a good race. You come down at the Boathouse, 5750 Boathouse Lane, and you can watch the races, spectate. It's open to the public, and you get to watch the races from 8 a.m. all the way till like 3 p.m., 4 p.m.
Wow, very, yeah. Very cool. And few people sitting in here tonight are going to be there. I think that Stephanie dropped out because she hasn't really been showing up for class for training. So.
Yeah. We have a couple people who, you know, I said in a blog on my Powerhouse Fitness blog, I said, you know, my coach used to say races aren't won or lost on race day. They're won or lost the weeks. The week before or the month before, so if people don't show up. if people don't show up, you know, or kind of whatever. But you know, it's just for fun. It's to get a starting point. It's for people who want to take it to the next level and really stay motivated, really, because there's a whole online community, concept2.com, and then powerhousefit.com, and we're gonna introduce some pretty cool stuff in the next coming weeks.
Well, that's what I'm gonna ask you about. There's a lot of big things happening at Powerhouse.
Yeah.
Two locations, the Boathouse location, the Warehouse location over on Loma. Tell us what's been going on and what people have to look forward to.
Well, we have, we're changing up the classes. You know, it's primarily, it started with indoor rowing, but now we're branching out. We have Zumba now 4 days a week, Tuesday, Thursday at 6:30 p.m., and Saturday at 10:15 a.m., and Sunday at 9:15 a.m.,
wow.
Only at the Warehouse. We have four classes. Lisa and Lorena are there. Really amazing dancers. I'm like, I can't even keep up. I don't want to.
We know about Zumba.
Yeah. And amazing. So come on, you know, check that out. And then we also have the spinning there, and we have a new boot camp class because everyone's talking about boot camp this, you know. So we have a Tuesday morning boot camp, one class a week at 7:15 a.m. And we're getting more machines, so we have more rowing machines. And we actually had a couple motocross people come in tonight and work out, and I said, you know, and it made me think about, you know, Carmichael, these guys, a lot of the guys in motocross work out on Concept 2 rowing machines.
I mean, we were talking about the scene that was a video we saw.
Yeah, a while ago when I wrote a blog about it. Yeah, and I was kind of joking around and laughing, look at these guys, because they do. I mean, it's funny because it looks weird because they have a attachment for the handlebar, that's
right.
A motorcycle handlebar. And they row wide, and then they get off, and they do push-ups. And they keep doing that on and off, on and off. Well, between Carmichael and a bunch of other guys, they actually have competitions within their little group. You know, what can you do for 500? What can you do for 500 meters, you know? What time can you pull? So, and apparently there's a huge community here in Long Beach and in the state of California. They have races out here all the time. So I want to kind of branch out to them, maybe transform two of the rowing machines into the, and they get it all decked out with the race numbers.
Stickers.
And
the, of course. Yeah.
And I mean, it's hilarious. I just put a thing on it on my Facebook. So you get to see that, and it's Powerhouse Fit, you know, on the Facebook. But,
dude, you got to memorize that.
Yeah.
It's important.
Keith can probably more about that, but anyways, that's pretty exciting. And then you know, Tom is our nutritionist here, so he constantly has the shakes. You know, my dad is actually pre-diabetic, and you know, he pricks his finger every day and measures. It's kind of weird for me to see that because growing up, I was like, what the heck, you know, like it's kind of weird to see that. But now that he's been doing these shakes, he's got his lowest ever recorded within 2 weeks of doing these shakes. He's got his lowest recording blood sugar level
right
since he started. So it's really cool, and he's really excited, and that's with all the nutrition and doing kale, spinach. We have all those recipes, the recipe for the shake online on the blog, and then also on powerhousefit.com. And also with the Juice Plus, you know, you can get that mixed in.
Right.
That's where it all comes from. So Tom has been a really big help, and it's just all kind of clicking together, firing all cylinders. All of our instructors are amazing. We have a new instructor from Brazil, from the national team. He rode in Brazil, and he's teaching at the Boathouse. So it's all good.
Well, you know, another thing to mention real quick before we transition to the late night show is the Ergothon that we're going to be doing along with Powerhouse Fitness and LB Food Review.
Yeah.
You got some good news about Concept 2, right?
Yeah, Concept 2 actually brought it up. I called them. I know a gal, Tracy DeShore, that's the main person that does all the CrossFits and all the she's, you know, all the gyms nationwide. She distributes the Concept 2. It goes, you know, all around. And so I'm friends with her, obviously, and working on my master trainer, getting, you know, obviously I'm there. But anyways, the huge thing that she brought up, which I didn't even bring up before she did, was that they have the market. I mean, they have the Roy market as is, but now they really have it with the adaptive program, and they're working really closely with them. So all the Paralympics, all the rowing, the adaptive rowing, they have, you know, the Paralympics with the rowing and stuff. Ron Harvey, Angela Madsen, who's rowed across oceans, should probably be on Oprah someday. I came up with it because the juniors had an Ergothon and raised money for their program, but to do an Ergothon to raise money for the Long Beach Vet, to make an adaptive rowing program for the Long Beach Vet, so that they can have a class
right.
with indoor rowing, because, or ski ergs or whatever you want, but that can really benefit that whole program. And Concept 2 was just so excited that they brought it up first, you know. I said, hey, we have an event in 2 months coming up that's gonna, and so they're really jazzed and excited, and they're gonna fully support it, obviously.
Excellent. And that's I think, what did we say the date was on that? March 26th,
I think, right?
It's a Saturday, and there'll be more information coming out about that real soon, and we'll be talking about that, and looking forward to it.
I'm excited that you guys are going to be there and broadcast it live, and get, you know, just get a lot of energy going, and it's all for a good cause. And like I said, Angela Madsen will be there. Right now, she's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean on a catamaran with 16 people rowing across the ocean, and they're trying to set a record. However, it's a little too much weight. My dad follows it everywhere, and he's like, you're going a little bit to the left. You're going a little bit to the right. He follows it online and tells them where they're going, you know. He's like, you don't think we know where we're going? You know, he actually helps them. Sometimes he's like, your GPS is wrong. So, you're going to end up with some pirates.
Somalian pirates aboard your catamaran.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's very cool, and check out Powerhouse Fit, powerhousefit.com, or you can find them on Facebook also. If you can't find them on Facebook, go to Swoops World Facebook, and they're a favorite page of ours. Jack, thanks for stopping in. We're gonna hang over for a little bit for the next show.
I love I love coming here. So
excellent. Well, this is in Swoops World Primetime at blogtalkradio.com. For those of you out there, follow us over, switch over. 10 o'clock, we'll be rocking and rolling on ztalkradio.com with a band known as Last Day Off. And they're here now, getting ready to set up and get going. So we'll see you then. Good night, blog talkers, and we'll see those of you who switch over with us at 10 o'clock.
Good night, all.